Welcome to Mistress Mia's Dungeon. I am your hostess, Mistress Mia, and of course, my wonderful co-host, Lord Balor.
It is I, Lord Balor.
Or you can call him Master John.
John, or my liege.
Maybe Masturbator John, how about that? Masturbator.
I am a masturbator. I have done it for years. I have honed my craft.
I think that's a whole other episode. So tonight we're going to talk about subspace.
Yeah.
Are we ready about that?
Let's do it. Let's talk about what subspace is first.
All right. You educate me.
I don't know. So, you know, we've talked about it a couple times, and the first discussion we had was, what is subspace? I've never been to subspace. I don't understand. And we've done some things with people in the dungeon before, and I've come pretty close, I think. I think the closest I've come was through the breath play. That gets me really close really fast. It just really calms me down. And for me, what happens is I don't have control. I can't get away. I have no control over what's happening, and I just have to let go. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die. Just enjoy what's happening. I know I'm not going to die, but that fear is there, that the utter lack of control for me is what puts me into a space where I can just relax. Now, it doesn't take me completely out of my head, but it does clear my mind for a little while. And especially with impact play, when we do the breath play with the impact play, I notice that my body doesn't react to the impact anymore, the flogger or some other things. I can feel it still, but the fear of being hit isn't there. The pain isn't as intense, and my body stops reacting. It's where before it was more of a reflex. Now it's okay, I can handle this, and I just let it happen. So for me, that's the closest I've ever been. But now, I say that, and then I got off the cross after a session with our friend Angel. And we talked about this on one of the podcasts before. I couldn't tell her no to anything for the next 3 days, and it was ridiculous. And I didn't know what was happening. All I knew is that I wanted to say yes to anything she said. And
you better hope she doesn't listen to this episode.
I know she... She's going to hear it. She's going to be like, yeah. And I'm going to be like, no, we're not doing that. But it was strange. And then we talked about a session I had with Amy and how I was able to let go of some of the anxiety, my social anxiety around people later that day. And I was able to just enjoy everything that was happening around me instead of focusing on who was there, who saw me, who didn't see me, why weren't they looking at me, why, you know, all those things that go through my head, they just didn't matter. So that's, to me, that's the closest I've been to subspace, where I could just let go of the anxiety.
Well, you know, a lot of people that are new to the lifestyle, they really are not really knowledgeable in subspace because they haven't even got to that point. And, you know, according to Urban Dictionary, I'm just going to read this verbatim. It says, subspace, the very special place that submissive or masochist enters when he or she reaches a natural chemical high and or change in mental or emotional balance of the brain chemistry and state of mind. So it's best achieved when total trust is in place with his or her dominant and one totally immerses themselves in the intense BDSM scene. Note, the sub may not be capable of making a rational decision about his or her safety and well-being at this point. Thus, it is the responsibility of the dom to provide for the welfare of his or her sub, that is known as aftercare. So.
Yeah, and that last part I think we should talk about in more depth later in the episode. But first, the chemical releases. So I did know about that. I knew that was a thing. It's kind of like runner's high. And runner's high, it turns out, is when anandamide is released in the brain. And anandamide is actually the body's chemical. It's identical to THC. So when you get a runner's high, you actually do get high the same as if you had smoked a joint. And that's why people do it. They do actually get high. And they do the same thing with Subspace. The endorphins and the chemicals that are released give you that high, just like if you were taking, not marijuana this time, but other drugs or whatever. And it does. So getting there, it does take a lot of trust because, you know, I've seen a lot of people, I've been on the cross where I've bought them so people could practice, and they pull out a whip and they wrap that whip all the way around my body and cross my stomach and around the back again, and just, you know, they don't know what they're doing and it hurts, and that does not get me to Subspace. I'm telling you that right now. It does not. It makes me jump off the cross. But I've seen people that go to a lot of extremes to get there. And then I've seen people here, and I've even participated with people here, where we didn't have to go to that extreme to get them to Subspace. And in fact, there was one in particular where we were trying not to get the person to Subspace, and they ended up there anyway. And so, and I think that was, like you said, it was trust. They knew they weren't in danger. They knew that I wasn't trying to take them to anywhere. And so there was no fear of abuse. There was no fear of anything. And it just happened. Where I've heard stories, people that first experienced, they got hit one time and they got hit so hard that they dissociated. And yeah, their body reacted. They squirted. They did all these things, but they also passed out on the first hit. And they were told they went into Subspace, and that was, you know, they don't want to do that. They don't want to be hit that hard to where they dissociate completely and they don't know what's going on anymore. So to me, dissociation and Subspace are not the same thing.
Well, you know, from my experience, I've taken many people to that Subspace, and, you know, they, at the time, they had no idea, you know, why they were even there. You know, it was a lot of, you know, newcomers in the lifestyle and, you know, some of my regular subs. And, you know, with one of my regular subs that I see rather often, you know, it's, again, it's breath play, mm-hmm. You know, stop his breath, you know, and it's, you know, it's 5 seconds, it's 10 seconds, you know, then it's, you know, 15 seconds. And ultimately, you know, he goes to that state of mind that, you know, is Subspace. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll give him a little air. He's breathing. He's, you know, he's very aware, you know, of where he's at, but not necessarily his surroundings. And often, very often at times when we've been in the dungeon and we've been doing these scenes, you know, it might just be an hour or two that we're in there.
Yeah.
But after that, and then it actually happens and they're in Subspace, even though it's, you know, 10 to 15 minutes for them, they think that they've been in there 4 or 5 hours at times. And they literally lose all concept of time.
Right.
It's pretty interesting, honestly.
And I've heard the opposite too, where people will be up there for an hour and they'll feel like they were only up there for 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And they, you know, they don't remember what happened. People have to tell them. You know, at the last party, there were a lot of people that did some pretty intense scenes, and we had to go back and tell them what the scene was because they couldn't remember half of it. So, but getting back to what we were talking about earlier when you were reading the definition and about
aftercare
and making decisions.
Yes, absolutely.
So, one of the things that really appealed to me at the beginning with BDSM is the fact that we talk about what we're going to do. You know, I just listened again to the podcast with Lucky that just aired. And one of the things that we talked about was, you know, when you go out to the bar and you pick somebody up and you go home to have sex, you don't really talk about what's going to happen. You just fumble through and hope for the best. But here we talk about it. We talk about limits. What do you want to happen? What do you want to make sure doesn't happen? And one of the best pieces of advice, I can't remember where it came from, I think it was on some research on my own, was when you do those negotiations and you're in the middle of a scene, it's okay to change your mind. If you said no, if you said yes to something prior, and then you change your mind and say, no, I don't want to do that anymore, it brought you to a red level or a yellow level, and you don't want to do that anymore, that's perfectly fine. We won't do that. But to change your mind and say, I do want to do something that we previously negotiated that we weren't going to do, is not a good idea.
Absolutely not.
And the Dom should say absolutely no.
Absolutely not.
If we said we're not going to do this thing, we're not going to use a whip, but now you're in subspace and you say, oh, I think I could do the whip.
Nope.
The Dom, I'm telling all of you subs right now, if the Dom allows that to happen, run. Do not allow, as a Dom, do not allow your sub to change their mind in the middle of a scene to say yes to something previously said no to, because they're in subspace and they don't know how to say no at that point. They just want to make you happy, and that's not a safe place to be to make those types of decisions.
You know, I'll tell you this, and that is when I first started off in this lifestyle, you know, I was 19 years old. You know, at 19 years old, you really don't know that much. And so you're looking on FET, and I always have these different people, and, you know, they always write me, or they'll come to the events, or, you know, they'll even come to do a session, and they'll say, oh, well, I'm a Dom. And they're 24 years old. And I said, oh, isn't that cute? You know.
You want to be a Dom because you think it's going to be cool and you're going to have all these sex slaves. And that's not what it's about at all.
No, it's not. And, you know, even if, you know, they don't want the sex slaves, but they want to have a sub, you know, they're not experienced. And, right. You know, and again, I've seen, you know, 40-year-olds that are Doms and they suck too.
It's so. It's me.
So, no, you do not suck. I mean, I've seen with you in the short time that I've known you, and that is, you know, you communicate with people. I've never seen to where you've done a scene and, you know, it's not what you've negotiated before. You know, you've talked to them, you know, explicitly about everything before it happened. And,
because to me, being a Dom isn't about, I'm going to hit somebody. To me, being a Dom is nurturing and caring and finding out what the sub needs and giving that to them, building them up, helping them to get to the next level of whatever it is they want to do. It's not about hurting someone.
And, you know, I think that's what a lot of people miss, is that, you know, we've turned to BDSM for a reason. And a lot of it is because, you know, we were abused in a past life, or, you know, somewhere in our past, we've dealt with, you know, feeling submissive and never getting to experience what it's really like to be a sub, or, you know, when it comes to BDSM. But, you know, everybody has their story. But point being is, I mean, that's a whole other episode. You know, right. The point being is, you know, having subspace, having that feeling of knowing what it's like. Mm-hmm. Never experiencing it. It's something that anyone in this lifestyle, they really need to experience it, I think, before they can even kind of help someone along to get there, you know?
Right. You can't guide somebody through something that you don't understand.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And back to the point where you said you see these Doms, people come in, they're 24, they think they're a Dom. The first question I ask, and I even ask myself, why am I doing this? Why do I want to be a Dom? What is driving me to feel this way? And not just, well, I want to be a Dom because it looks cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I've met a lot of people that think that being a Dom is cool, and they suck at it. They're bad.
Yeah.
And they're dangerous.
Very much so. And I think that, you know, you've heard this before in the lifestyle, and you were once told one. Someone was actually doing a demo with their sub. You had talked to that sub later, and they said, well, I just did what he wanted to do.
Right.
You know, and that's something that it's a realization that says, how do you value yourself as a person is how you need to be in the lifestyle. You know, you need to value yourself. And the simple fact is you need to have that trust with someone. I know you spoke with another person here recently, and you said, oh yeah, this person just met this guy, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he's dominating her. And
yeah, I hadn't even met the girl yet. I met her on Tinder, and we were talking, and she wanted a dom, and I was talking to her a little bit, and because to me, you know, we just got done saying, why do you want to be a dom? For me, I need to know why my sub wants to be a sub. What are you looking for? So that we can be in the same headspace. Because if you're looking for subspace and I'm looking for sadism, we're not going to have a good experience together. If we're both looking to get you to subspace, or we're both looking to help you to develop in a certain area, and we're in the same headspace, we can get there. So I want to know, why are you a sub? And, you know, I was telling you about this, and I was like, you know, she kind of ghosted me. I can't figure it out. I went on FetLife, where we had friended each other, and then the next day she unfriended me. So I did a little bit of digging, and she had found a dom in the 24 hours since I had met her. She found somebody and put on FetLife that he was her dom. I'm like, that was insanely fast. That's not...
Wow. It's scary.
It's very scary. You just meet somebody and then all of a sudden he's your dom. And to me, being in a DS relationship is like a marriage, but even more intimate and trusting than a marriage would be, because now you're putting people's personal safety on the line, not just their emotions. And, you know, I checked on her again. It was like 3 days later. She had removed him and she was single again. So, you know, I watch people and they, yes, there's DS is, you can be dating and things like that, but to just jump in and say, I'm a dom, so now you're my sub, is not a safe practice. It's dangerous. You know, you really need to know who you're playing with. You need to really meet them in public place and see what kind of person they are, how they play, before you just say, okay, come over and do whatever you want to me. I'm a sub. I'll do whatever you want. When somebody says, I'll do whatever you want, I have to take a step back and say, no, I don't want you to do whatever I want, because I might want to shave your hair and make you bald. I might want to pee on you. Well, I don't want you to do that. I was like, well, you just said, I want you to do whatever you want. That's not true. You want to make me happy. That's not the same thing. So what makes me happy is communication. Knowing what it is that you're looking for and having the communication. And I need to know your limits. I need to know what you want. Don't just say, I want you to hit me and give me bruises because you think that's what I want, because it's not. I don't want to leave bruises. I don't want to break bones. As a sensualist, pain is a sensation, and I can deliver that. But I need to know that I'm doing it for a reason. And I don't need to just do it. It doesn't make my dick hard to make you bleed. It doesn't. But it does excite me when I know that we're doing something together and that we're growing. And that what I'm doing is giving you pleasure. And the pleasure you receive from what I'm doing, that's what gives me the pleasure. It's not the pain or the inflicting of pain. It's I'm giving you what you need. I'm watching you grow. I'm watching something happen within you so that we can grow together. That's where I get my pleasure. So if they're not willing to tell me what they want and they're not willing to be honest with me, that tells me up front they don't trust me. And the whole thing is about trust. You can't say I trust you, but then you don't trust me enough to tell me what you really want. You don't trust me with your secret or your deepest kinky fantasies that we're here to do, but you trust me to hit you with a stick or with a whip. It doesn't make that part doesn't make sense to me.
Wow. Sorry. I was still stuck on grow together.
Well,
like your two molds, you know.
When, Like I said before, being a dom for me is being nurturing. You know, we have daddy doms and baby girls. And, you know, what is that about? It's a nurturing relationship. Affectionate domination, sensual domination. All these things, all these words we call that people want that don't include pain.
Well, I think, again, we go off track and focus on subspace.
Right. So the whole thing is, I can't get you to subspace if you don't trust me.
Yes.
And if we don't have that communication,
yes,
you don't trust me, and we're never going to get there.
Absolutely.
So sorry. Let's bring that back full circle. Bring my squirrel back around into this little wheel. But I was, yeah, I was talking about subspace. I just didn't say it. Sorry.
Well, you know, the whole deal with
mansplaining
subspace
is a thing.
Yes, mansplaining is very much a thing. But subspace. So overall, that's kind of like, to me, it's like the ultimate orgasm for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting to that just ultimate special place.
Right, an orgasm for your mind.
It is.
Yeah. Because really, all of this is in your mind. All of it. Even the sexual act is in your mind. It's the foreplay and the arousal and everything is all triggered by thoughts in your mind. We all think of different things to arouse us, and we do different things in the bedroom because of our imaginations. And if we've talked a lot about mental blocks, your mind can stop you from having a good time. So yeah, subspace really does get you into that place where you can just let go.
And honestly, from my experience, I think the more that you do it, the easier it is to get there each time. You know,
absolutely.
You know, when I've had my sub before, when I would, you know, do impact play, and if I was so consistent on it and doing it in a constant rhythm, it was almost like a beating drum, you know, and just that repetition and that sensation. And ultimately she would just go limp, you know, and it wasn't because I was, you know, beating the shit out of her. It was because I was doing this motion. And for some reason, you know, in her mind, it led her down that path to feel complete and total, you know, submission going to subspace.
Yeah. It reminds me of, you know, when you're driving down the road and have you ever been hypnotized by the road? You watch the lines in the road and they just keep coming. Boom, boom,
boom, boom,
boom,
yeah.
Boom. And you get hypnotized and you dissociate and all of a sudden you're where you were going, but you can't remember how you got there. It's the same thing. That's what I think about when you say that. It's the methodical hitting on, you know, in the same spot. Boom, 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 boom. And your mind just...
That was the word I was searching for.
It's
methodical. Yeah.
It really is. It's hypnotic and let you go there. And the breath play that we talked about earlier, you know, the first time I was down in the dungeon, I didn't get to subspace at all. But the second time, I said, you know, I kind of like breath play. Let's try that. And, you know, it took a little while. But the next time, it was the first time that we started with the breath play, and the first time that, you know, my breath was restricted, I was pretty much there. And then the next time, just feeling the scarf around my neck almost brought me there. I didn't even have to do it. I just knew it was coming.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's exciting.
Does take a lot of, yeah, it does take a lot of trust, because, you know, once you get to that spot, you're willing to pretty much do anything they want. And that's where I'm at. Like, my body goes limp. I still feel the impact, but it doesn't matter anymore.
Wow. Yeah. You know, that will be actually something to see, that if we're going to do, you know, video podcasting soon, we could have like Angel be straddling you in the massage chair, and I'll just be behind you like choking you out a little bit.
Y'all see me go out, and you'll see me. I don't know if they want to see that.
I'm sure they would.
I'm sure
they would love to see that.
To see me. Oh, really? All that shit you did to me. We'll see what happens to you, motherfucker.
I don't think you have haters.
I don't. I don't have haters. I have...
You have a flock of women that chase after you, John.
I have a problem.
You do. You do. You have a flock of women.
A flock of women.
Yes.
A harem, really.
Well, I don't think you want the harem. I don't think you want all these bitches living with you.
Don't. That's a lot of responsibility.
That is a lot of responsibility.
I'm gonna get a calendar and let them sign up. Like, you can have this day, and you can have this day. John's tuckered out. I can't do more than that.
Now, John does need sugar mamas. So.
I need lots of different mamas. I need cuddles.
Cuddles, exactly. Exactly.
I need people to tell me I'm doing a good job on my guitar.
People
to
tell you that you're pretty.
You're so good.
So you have some princesses, right.
Some kittens to pet.
Some kittens.
I'm going to have a menagerie. I'm going to get some land, 5 million acres, and just have free roam.
Free roam
flock.
You're using you're using my root word that I want to use.
Oh, is it? Which one?
Yes. It's the menagerie. Menage.
Yes. Well, you have a menagerie already. You've been building it for a while.
I do. So, again, squirrel.
Yep.
We're going back to subspace.
I might be in subspace. I don't know.
You might be. Let me go get that scarf.
No, we're good.
So, I think to give the listeners some tips, let's do that.
All right.
So, you as a dom, we can talk about sensation play.
Okay.
And on my end, I'm more of a sadist in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's true.
But I also, that's for me and my sub. My sub is... he's very submissive when it comes to, his certain fetishes. And when he is, under the spell of those certain fetishes, like rope bondage, mm-hmm. Plastic wrap, any type of extreme bondage that we do, any latex play or otherwise, I mean, that already sets the mood for the beginning of what is soon to happen.
Right. And that's one of the things I haven't gotten into yet, the rope play, but I've seen a lot of subs go straight into subspace just
by touching that rope on their bodies.
The rope touches them, they're not even in bondage yet, and they're ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that for our listeners, if you're ready to explore, BDSM with a partner, I think the more important part is if you're in your 20s and you really have not done this before, or if you're in your 30s for that matter, but you're inexperienced nonetheless, I think that, you can be dominant, but don't try to think that you know everything with the situation. You can read, you can watch videos. There's a lot of things out there, a lot of material on actual facts of BDSM. But ultimately, it boils down to the experience of it. So if you're with a partner and you know that their specific fetish is something you can accommodate, whether it's rope or like we were discussing, keep it simple.
Yeah, but even rope, it sounds simple, but there's safety precautions with rope.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You don't want to wrap the joints. And there's a lot of things that you need to look into.
Absolutely.
So that was one of the things that you and I brought us together. I reached out and said, hey, I'm new. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to take somebody subspace. I've never been to subspace. I think I'm a dom, but I don't know what it's like. So I don't know how to care for someone when I get them to subspace. I don't know how to get them there. I don't know how to care for them while they are there. I don't know how to get that back. So it was a journey just to come and watch and learn and be open to new experiences and to say, I don't know what I'm doing, and be really humble about that.
Absolutely. And that's really the way to be, honestly. So when you're playing with your partner, I think the more important part is getting them into a comfortable position. And like John said, you know, rope is something that's very technical. However, you know, I just say for like newcomers, you know, don't wrap the rope tight. You know, just wrap the midsection. You know, don't do anything crazy. But
you tie their feet together and hands together.
Yeah,
don't do a suspension on your first time.
Oh God, no, 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 no. But you know, I also recommend. I love going to like Home Depot.
Yes.
And getting the rolls of plastic wrap. You know, you really can't fuck up plastic wrap with someone.
I haven't done that. I've watched it.
That's a blast. Yeah. I'm gonna show you, and you're gonna love doing it with someone, especially if you do it with a naked woman and you kind of compress their titties down with the plastic wrap.
Anything with a naked woman is fun for
me. It's fun.
I like it.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna like. Yes. Let's do that.
We need some volunteers.
And what I heard too is like when you cut it open and release them, it's like emerging from a cocoon.
It is.
And I find that with wax play too. I don't like the burning of the wax. It's okay. I'm sensitive. I don't like pain a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the wax is a little, it's not bad, but the part I like most is when they take it off, when they peel the wax off.
Yeah.
And it would be the same thing with the mummification and the saran wrap. It's when they take it off and it's that release.
It is. Yeah. It's amazing. So if you want to try it, we could try it too. But point being, it is.
I'm good. Naked woman sounds good. We can wrap up a naked girl.
So back to our listeners.
If anybody wants to get wrapped in saran wrap, let me know.
Yes, please. Yes, please. Kay, Nurse Nancy, Julia, anyone.
Punky Blonde.
Jane Doe, Punky Blonde, anybody. So point being is you are putting your person that you want to play, do a scene with. So I suggest the plastic wrap. And, you know, honestly, you can, you know, do it on a bed or you can just have them in a chair. But the point of it is you want to be, you know, have them in a stationary position. And, you know, the great thing about plastic wrap is you can make holes. So you can make, you're laughing, but it's so true.
No, because I'm thinking of this movie scene. I can't remember the name of the movie. It had,
Oh my God, Squirrel.
Yeah.
Go back to that, John, in a minute. So anyway, holes in the plastic wrap. Now he's going to look for his phone and look up the fucking movie.
I am. So you guys, once I say what it is, you guys are going to die.
Okay, so right. I'm already dying at this
booty
point.
Call.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
He wrapped himself in saran wrap while he was trying to protect himself for oral sex. He wrapped his whole body with saran wrap.
Jesus. Okay.
You gotta watch it. It's so funny.
All right. Okay. Everybody's gotta watch Booty Call.
With Vivica Fox. She's hot as fuck.
Yes, she's beautiful. I getcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so anywho.
Subspace. You know, talking about subspace.
I'm telling you, when I'm trying to educate the listeners, and at this point, they're probably like thinking, shut the fuck up, John. Let me finish your statement.
Shut the fuck up, Lord.
Okay, Lord Vala. So anyway, so the plastic wrap, you can basically get holes for your genitals, for your nipples. And those, you know, any type of erogenous zones that this person may or may not have. So, like, we did a tickle fetish guy. And I used the plastic wrap on him. And, you know, his sections that were extremely ticklish were his inner thighs, his belly, part of his back, and his underarms. So, we kind of put his arms above his head. We still did plastic wrap everywhere else, you know, minus those certain areas. And again, it wasn't sexual for him, but he still got into subspace based on us being able to tickle him. And he got to that point where it was like sheer exhaustion from laughing and tickling, being tickled so much. I have a couple of videos actually posted on FetLife, and I'm on there as Mistress Mia Ray. Or Mia Ray Hot. God, I have to look that up. I think it's Mistress Mia Ray. Thank you. And the videos are on there. And he's got this great laugh. It's absolutely hilarious. And when he was over here a few weeks back, I had a friend visiting who was outside. And He was like, my God, what the fuck were you doing with this guy in there? And I was like, because he's like, I mean, he sounds like an evil Joker laughing. It's hilarious. It is absolutely, and you know what's even, this is so funny. He actually brought his cat, like his kitten, what? Who was 8 months old. He brought his cat with him, and he put his cat in this little kitty playhouse in my mudroom.
I thought you were
going to
say he wrapped the cat and saran wrapped
it. I did not involve any animal in this. That's, no.
The cat would attack you.
But, but my point being, he's such an unusual character, because who the fuck brings a kitty cat? You know, and I have had other people bring their pets because, you know, they're in transition or they're traveling or what have you. He's like, oh, I take my cat everywhere. And I was like, wow, okay.
It's an emotional support cat.
He did say it was an emotional support cat. Oh, my God. He did. That's so funny. That's so funny you say that.
I'm going to bring my snakes. I don't have any snakes. I'm going to get some and then I'm going to bring them.
So, needless to say, going back to getting to subspace. So, he would get to subspace and he would just like, he would laugh and scream and then he'd pass out. And it was like, what the fuck just happened? And the first time, you know, he was there and we were doing it, I was like, is he breathing?
You did that to me one time. I was on the cross and it was a couple times we did the breath plan. I just laid down on the cross and didn't move. And
yes.
You can't, are you alive? I'm, like, I'm good. You choked me. I'm good. So yeah, maybe I have been in subspace.
I forgot about,
see?
You go
to subspace and you forget.
Wow.
I have been.
Yeah, a couple of times.
It's a great place to be.
It is a great place to be. I mean, it's better than drugs, honestly.
Right. I don't bottom a lot. I bottom a lot here.
Yeah,
for new people and let them practice and things. I don't enjoy getting hit very much, though.
No.
But the breath play does put me in subspace.
I get it. Yeah, it just does. So, again, you know, just to educate people, really just be as safe as you possibly can. You know, read some material. I know there's a lot of links on Amazon. If anyone wants those, they can email me at miarayhot.com or miarayhot@gmail.com. Either way. And I'll certainly give our listeners any type of information they want for, you know, basic BDSM bondage or what have you.
Yeah. And you're talking a lot about safety. So it's important to remember DS or a DS relationship and a BDSM scene are not the same thing.
No.
When we come in and we do a scene, it's role play.
Absolutely.
And you need to be safe. And yes, it'll take you to subspace, but safety has to be the most important thing. We're not coming in here to hurt each other. We're coming in here to play out a fantasy and to role play and then go home. Hopefully better than when we came. Where a DS relationship is more of that nurturing that we were talking about and that relationship outside of the scene.
And I know you're a nurturer, but there's a lot of DOMs that aren't like you.
Right.
And there's a lot of subs.
That's why I keep bringing it up so the subs can hear this, because I feel like it's something they need to hear. If they want to go into subspace, they need to find somebody that cares about them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I know that there's some subs that they do like the degradation and they do like the humiliation.
Right. There are true masochists. Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And there are true sadists, and those match up very well together.
But, you know, it really, like John said, it goes back to being able to trust someone. And knowing someone in 24 hours and calling them your dom is not, you know, a good idea for anyone for that matter. And, you know, giving someone trust that quick in the relationship, that's never a good idea. That is just a huge no-no. Don't do it. You know, you
a
want
a scene maybe, but a relationship.
A scene,
no.
And a scene maybe as in a public place,
right?
Too, you know, at a local dungeon, at a party, you know, somewhere where there's people. You know, we met someone before at an event, and she said, "Hey, you know, I met this guy. He wanted to be my dom for the first time, and you know, we talked about it, and we didn't really do a lot of discussion as to the do's and the don'ts, but I told him the basics." And she took him back to her apartment and he beat the holy shit out of her.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that's...
Right, and we talk about those things off the air all the time. And that's why I've been coming back to it. You know, I'm trying not to give the horror stories, but subspace is a great place to be.
It is.
But damn it, be safe.
Yeah, be absolutely. Careful. Absolutely. And, you know, I like to throw in other stories about subspace.
Yeah, some good stories.
I'll throw this one in. Yeah. So we had this guy, and he came in, and he was into age play.
Okay.
And so I asked him, you know, how old are you when you're in that mindset? And he says, well, I'm about 5 years old. I said, oh, okay. All right, cool. That's great. And so, you know, I let Dahlia see him. And, you know, Dahlia's a mother. She's pregnant. She's fucking adorable. She is. She's so adorable. And so she was kind of like, okay, he's 5 years old. Great. You know, 5 year old. So she talked to him like a little boy, you know, and to him, that was his form of subspace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was his form of, you know, he was so turned on by being in diapers and being fed from a bottle and, you know, having that binky and she was burping him. I mean, it was a scene for him, but there was a point where he felt so at ease and so relaxed that he fell asleep on her lap.
Right. They get lost in the scene.
They do.
That's subspace.
They get
lost in the scene.
So I think there's different types of subspace for different people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that scenario, that's what he enjoyed.
Yeah. We talk about pet play a lot. Puppy play.
Oh, yeah.
And people get into that mindset where they're not human anymore.
Absolutely.
They're a puppy. And they want to be treated like a puppy. And they don't want to eat dog food, but they want to eat out of a bowl. Pretend it's dog food.
Puppy Jazzy, wherever you are, you know, we're thinking about you.
I was talking to a kitten this week, and she's like, yeah, I went and saw this guy, and we talked about it. And he's going to put cereal in a bowl for me so I can eat out of the bowl like a kitten.
Perfect.
Right, and she loved it. She loved
that idea.
Perfect. And I was like, you know what, that sounds great. And she just sat at his feet, and he rubbed her head, and that's what she wanted. She was
that's
had
awesome.
A great time. Yeah. So, there's lots of ways of doing it. I mean, I've seen documentaries where people did eat dog food, and that's what they wanted. And, you know, we talked about extreme masochists and things. Some people do. I mean, we didn't talk about shit in this episode.
No. Give it time. I got one that's good for you now.
But there's that, too, so.
I've got one for you.
Let's do it. I knew if I said the word shit, we were.
You
gonna,
do, you know.
We're gonna do it.
It's always on a Sunday. It seems like, you know, on a Sunday, yeah, you know, instead of going
just
to church,
just a normal Sunday afternoon.
That's it. They come to Mia's dungeon, and so we had this guy, and you know, come Sunday morning, he would go to church with his family, and afterwards he would come over.
He had too much church. He had to get some of
that
church out of him.
He did.
He was like, they fucked me up at church today.
He did. So he would come
over.
He passed
that plate around 3 times.
God. It's bad enough when I'm laughing too hard. I can't even tell the story. But he comes around and on the Sunday and he brings his bowl. And he's not a dog, but he brings a little box of the mini cereal. And it's typically cornflakes is what it is. But he will call me, tell me he's on his way. He'll come in and he gets down on his knees and begs me to let him ejaculate over his cereal. Yeah.
Yummy.
Yummy, right?
You have to have milk on your cereal.
Gotta have milk. His was heavy cream.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was.
Just disclaimer, Lord Ballard will not like that.
Listen, he brought up shit. I did not bring a shit story to the table.
Okay.
But I will bring the ejaculation,
yeah.
You know, story to the table.
Snowballing.
You know what?
I don't do snowballing either.
Remind me, nope. because Kay was telling me yesterday.
Oh, God.
She's like, what is it that when you give someone a blowjob and you get his cum in your mouth and then you give it to him, I said, I know there's a name for that. I'm drawing a blank. She's like, well, damn it, Mia. You got to let me know what it is.
Miss K, so, it's snowballing.
You need to text her now and say, snowballing.
Right. She's not going to know what it's for.
No. And she's going to random.
I'm on the air what she says. This is happening, y'all.
Has live anyone ever person. Snowballed? So, I have snowballed multiple times.
Not I. I don't want to. I had someone tell me they wanted to, and I was like, that's a hard limit. We're not doing that.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, John, you go down a woman, and you eat a woman's pussy.
And yes, it is sexy as fuck when she licks it off of me. Yes,
of course.
But no,
there's not much difference.
Well, I'm not doing it.
Okay. Well, technically, you've been doing it for quite some time, minus, you know, actual fluid in your mouth. You know, it is around your mouth and in your mouth, and it's on your tongue when you lick her pussy clean. But, you know, imagine, I know you haven't had a taste of a man's cum, but for future reference and what it tastes like, most men's cum does not taste good, okay?
Well, that's why I don't want it.
Okay.
I assumed it didn't taste good in
so,
the first place.
You know, Mia dated this sexy Asian man so long ago, and honestly, his cum did not have a taste.
Really?
Did not have a taste. You know, most cum tastes like fucking bleach and ammonia.
So
and
does
it's chunky, typically.
We're going to get back to subspace in a minute, y'all. But first, does pineapple work?
Pineapple works if they're eating a lot of it, I think. But
and they
I
stop
think
eating
it,
red meat, right?
Yeah, I think
red meat
a
makes
lot
it
of
bitter
it.
And the pineapple's supposed to make it sweeter.
Yeah, because he didn't eat a lot of red meat and he was very healthy. He stuck to a basic Asian diet
probably
for the most part.
Drank a lot of water.
Drank a lot of water, yeah. And that's the other thing, you know.
These
when
are tips, guys. I hope you're listening.
Big tips.
You
honestly
want her to swallow. Stop eating red meat, eat some pineapple, and drink a lot of water.
And drink a lot of water because, you know, when you're not drinking a lot of water, your semen is clumps. It comes out in fucking clumps like boogers. It's disgusting.
It does look kind of gross.
It does.
Like sometimes, okay, there's different kinds because I've seen clumpy girls too. And that's
oh,
not
I'm
cool.
Sure. That's gross.
Sometimes it'll come out smooth and creamy like a milkshake. And sometimes it just comes out like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
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 I don't know what to tell you. Kay says, I think I heard that before. I just couldn't think of it. You must be with Mia.
Yeah, yeah, she knows.
We're live on the air.
So,
you made it onto the podcast.
Love you, Kay. So, let's see. We've talked snowballing, subspace, chunky cum.
Yes, chunky cum. Does that take you to subspace? Let us know. Survey. Does chunky cum send you to subspace? How many people say yes?
The answer will be fuck no. Fuck no, 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 no.
Well, does smooth cum take you to subspace? Because I know some girls who love that shit.
Well, you know.
I don't know. I love, you know what? When I'm eating a girl out and she's getting into it, it probably takes me to subspace because I love that shit. It takes me to a different place. When I know that I'm doing, when she's enjoying what's happening.
Well, I will say that my wonderful lover, he has nice, smooth cum. But, you know, that always, I'm just saying, most men have that taste and you can just smell like ammonia in it. And, you know, his does not. I'm very thankful for that. But like I said, I dated an Asian and there was no taste to his cum and I would drink that shit all day long. Like, just saying.
Okay.
All right. So, I think we've covered so much today. I really think so. And, I mean, really, what else
Kay
can we say about
that
this?
We made snowballing onto the podcast and she wasn't here for it.
Oh,
she's
damn.
Sad.
But damn.
Shout out to Kay.
Shout out to Kay.
Love you.
So, you've heard it from us. You've heard it from us. You've heard about subspace, trusting. Trust that partner.
Communication.
Communication, absolutely.
Please communicate. Tell the truth.
Don't meet just no Joe Schmo and decide that he's going to be your dom. Don't ever do it.
Oh, my God. Don't do that.
Don't ever do that. Don't submit to someone who doesn't deserve it. You know, don't just give yourself. It's almost like giving your virginity away. Just don't give it that quickly. You gotta play the game.
DS relationship is a relationship. It takes time to build.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And trust is the one most important thing in there between trust and communication. So, but Subspace, amazing.
Amazeballs.
Snowballs. Hey. Anyway.
We're going to get kicked off our own podcast.
We are.
Yeah.
It's all right. We can be as dirty and as explicit as we want. So, anyway, cockball monkey nuts. You have any other comments?
No, well, I'm busier than a one-armed monkey with three peckers, but...
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Pretty damn busy. All right. So, listeners, thank you again so much for listening. We just enjoy all of you so much and all your support. Thank you again. You all have a wonderful and kinky day.